tides used to come across the quayside once, twice, every 3-5 years.
I know my father used to work on the railway at one time, but that was before I was born. He was a porter. In fact, he was working on the station in 1953 when it all flooded. He was at work that night and had to climb up onto a canopy to escape the water, having warned the signalman that the track was flooding, and saved a delivery of cigarettes, which he put on top of the wardrobe before he climbed to safety, and was later rescued from the canopy by a friend in a boat.
So certainly when we think of extreme events, like flood events, you don't have lots of data because it's by definition something that rarely ever happens.
Now it probably comes across the quayside 5 times a year. So you don't need nothing else but just look and see that there's more water than ever before. We're getting more surge tides than ever before. So something's happening.
Because in the 2013 storm, the wind came from an unexpected, sort of non-standard direction.
On this particular day in 2013, the wind was in the southwest. And the scientists kept saying, well, you're going to get a big surge tonight. And I wrongly thought, I can't see that.
Because people remember the 2013 storm and our model is calibrated against that storm, so that is helpful.
Every building on Wells Quayside, right across the front, was flooded, every single building. There was a lady in her late 80s in her cottage to restaurants and businesses. Everybody was flooded. Mm. And the devastation that causes is just amazing, honestly.
So the modeling we do, as I say, is hydraulic modeling, so you don't change the geography or the seabed levels. But if you want to model risks in the future, you need to think about that. No one knows. You have to think in scenarios. Of course, you can't say, "Well, this is." You can't even say there's a 10% chance or a 20% chance that this will happen. You just have to think, "Well, this is a scenario, and this is a scenario," and that has to be the basis for decision making.
I don't need a professor or somebody like this to tell me that we have something happening out there. The water levels are rising, sea level is rising. I just know by looking out my harbour office window that the sea level is rising. And they said to me how much of a surge I would get, what time I would get the surge, and I just thought, that's a load of nonsense. It's not going to happen. Well, it did happen. And that totally woke me up. Now I actually realised, actually science has got a place to play as well. So yes, you can have the local knowledge, you can have all, you know, but you need the science as well. So it then makes you think, well, where the future is going. Not what it's like here today, it's what it's going to be in 25 years.
There is no big current issues or changes happening different from areas further down the coast where there are houses falling off cliffs.
We have sandbanks everywhere. You know, everybody's heard of the Dogger Bank and Haysborough Sands and Race Bank and all these big sandbanks. And a lot of these sandbanks are being dredged, taken away, to use the sand in building, in roads in the country. It's a big operation. So all these sandbanks off our coast are an actual protection for the coast. And they're dredging them away. It's actually, it's a bit like standing behind a wall. If you had a little wall, and if you had 10 little walls in front of you, the water's got to hit all them little walls before it gets to you, but they're taking the walls away. But the most important thing for us here at Wells is the marshes. The marshes are the best sea defence we possibly have.
So what's climate change and sea level rise going to do with this area? And that's not simple to answer. So we don't really know whether with sea level rise, the levels of, if a rising sea will actually just bring more sand into the area and you don't really see there, you don't really get into a problem. But it could also be that the response of the area is that sea level rises, but there isn't enough sand coming along to keep pace with sea level rise. We just don't know, but it is really important for the long-term future. There are some fundamental uncertainties how a system like this, a very sandy, sand-rich system like this will respond to sea level rise. And you have to make sure that, you know, the decisions you make are sort of low regret enough or adaptable, essentially, as you learn more. That's the trick, really, with dealing with those uncertainties. Don't fully believe in what you see. Recognize the uncertainty and take that into account in the coastal management decisions.
There's three or four different scenarios that we looked at about doing other things, but in the real world, there was nothing that worked. No matter what we did, there was no way of stopping the places on the front and areas of the town being flooded. The only thing we could do is put some more glass panels along the front, a bit like the right side in there. So that made us realise, well, okay, we can't do nothing about it. We are very vulnerable, we are where we are. We need to then look at planning and looking at how things we do in the future. So when we build new buildings, make sure our anchor's up high, make sure they can be flooded. So we had to just change the way we think about things completely.
On all of this, so that comes back to these choices that we can make about continuing to protect areas or in some places maybe moving to a more natural system. A more natural system might well sustain the harbour channels better than the current artificial system.
But what I would say to anybody, and I've seen it now for many years, you could get all the machinery, I could give you all the resources in the world, and I'm serious now, and say, go out there and build me whatever you want. Mm. And you could have all the resources and all the money. Nature will do it so much faster than you can. We can man-made structures, we can go that direction, and I think eventually we will have to. But nature is hard to beat.
Yeah.
If you're trying to mess with nature, you've got a heck of a task.
It's powerful.
So we're not at a point where someone needs to spend money on keeping that flood defence alive.
So obviously there's a lot of cost-benefit analysis.
Indeed, yeah. Well, so certainly for an organisation like the Environment Agency, they have limited funding that they have to spend wisely for the whole nation.
So I then thought to myself, with the commissioners, well, actually, maybe we need to look at the problem. Nobody else is looking at the problem. They're looking at the problem as a country, but for this, for Wells, for our community, maybe we need to look at the problem and see if there's anything we can do or we can suggest to be done.
Modelling alone, only tells you so much. You really have to think about, so what is actually my management question here, and what do I need, what sort of data and models do I need to answer that management question.
So we've learned a lot.
Mm.
But in the real world, I think you're going to find for Wells, we're going to have to move backwards. We're going to have to move back away from the sea a little bit. Because the sea, if it carries on like it is, will take areas of Wells.